Well, hey, it is great to see you this morning. As you're having a seat, grab a Bible and turn to Romans chapter 12. That's where we're going to spend some time this morning. I love Max's joke, man. I mean, it's just so fun to have a guy that just comes every week and just we just enjoy and we can laugh. I heard a story this last week. It was about Ralph and Edna. They were both patients in a mental hospital. One day while they were walking past the hospital swimming pool, Ralph, he just jumped in and started to bloop, 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 sing right to the bottom in the deep end because Ralph couldn't swim. And so he just stayed there and he was down at the bottom of the pool while Edna, she promptly jumped in to save him. And she swam to the bottom and she pulled him out and started to do CPR and saved Ralph's life. And when the hospital director heard about it, heard about Edna's heroics, he came and immediately ordered her to be discharged from the hospital because now she was considered mentally stable. And when he went to tell Edna the good news, he said, "Edna, I have some good news and I have some bad news." He says, "The good news is you're being discharged today because you were able to rationally respond in a crisis by jumping into the pool and saving the life of another person. And I've concluded that that act displays sound-mindedness." He says, "The bad news is your friend Ralph that you pulled out of the pool later on that day, he decided to hang himself in his bathroom, and I'm sorry to say that he's dead." Edna replied, "He didn't hang himself. I just put him in there to dry." Can I go home now? I know it's kind of a sick joke, but the human mind is capable of all kinds of crazy, isn't it? Just all kinds of wildness. You don't have to watch the news more than just a couple minutes and realize that the human mind can come up with all kinds of madness. And we have been going through this series called Transform because we realize that things really aren't how they're meant to be. That we know that there's more to life than what we see. We know that things can be and should be different. And we know that our world and most of our own lives bear the scars and kind of the duct-taped areas where we're trying to hold things together because of the brokenness of our world. And we realize that things need to be changed. We yearn for a better way to do life. And so we're diving deep into this idea of transformation. We're focusing on two verses in the book of Romans chapter 12. Just two verses. And it's Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And what we've discovered at this point in our series is that first we've discovered that this is only possible. Any transformation is only possible by God's mercy and by His grace. That is in view of God's mercy that we can hope for transformation. We've recognized also that it will take some sacrifice on our parts. We're supposed to present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. And so, you know, we're supposed to sacrifice. It's going to require that if we really want true transformation. We've understood that worship is something that we don't just do on Sunday morning, but we do it all week long. And we understand that we don't just do it in songs, but our whole life and our whole bodies get involved in responding to God by recognizing all that God has done and then responding to Him in acts of worship, not just coming to worship, but worshiping on a 24/7 basis where we're recognizing all that God's doing and then we worship Him in His holiness. And last week, Pastor Devin helped us understand what transformation looks like, not just the butterfly piece, but what, more importantly, in our lives, inside of us as we die to ourselves, trust the process and allow God to change us from the inside out. And if you were not here last week, I just encourage you to go online and listen or watch. It was an excellent message on the transformation power that God brings our way. And today we're going to talk about what actually brings that transformation. What actually is the process? What brings it? What do we have to have happen in order to be transformed? And so in order to do that, I want us to read together again the passage of Scripture, Romans 12, 1 and 2. I want to read it together. So I want you to join me. Read it out loud, even though it's going to look just a little different than normal. So read this with me, okay? "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You guys did really good. Did you notice anything messed up with that? Just a little bit, right? Just a little bit. Now, why was it that you were able to read along and to identify all of that? Well, I mean, because we basically just read through it fast. And now, as a pastor, my hope is that in week one, when I said this would be really good verses for you to memorize, I was just hoping that maybe y'all memorized it, right? And that's why you could do that, okay? And that might be a little bit because we've read it more over and over and over again. But the reality, the reason that you were able to do this, well, here, this is something that you haven't seen already, that you haven't heard, or it hasn't been in front of your face already, but let's read this together, okay? Read this together with me. According to research at Cambridge University, it doesn't matter what order the letters in a word are in. The only important thing is that the first and last letter be in the right place. The rest can be a total mess, and you will still be able to read it without a problem. This is because the human mind does not read every letter by itself, but each word as a whole. Your mind is amazing. Isn't that awesome? I mean, some of you maybe have seen that before, but our minds are such an incredible, powerful tool. The most powerful thing that God has created so that you're able to even, like, make sense of the jumbledness of life. That's, you know, our hope. And so what is it that brings about real transformation in us? Well, this verse tells us that we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. By the renewing of our mind. And so, you know, our minds, they're these absolutely amazing tools that God has created. A piece of your brain tissue the size of a grain of rice contains more than 100,000 neurons and 1 billion synapses, all communicating to each other at the same time. The human brain generates 25 watts of electricity. So if we could somehow do it, you know, each take a 25-watt light bulb and just screw it into our ears, you know. I mean, I don't think that exactly works. But it's got electricity that actually your brain is producing on a regular basis. The human brain processes about 1,016 processes per second, making it way faster than any computer that's been developed at this point in history. Using Japan's, they have a computer they call the K computer. It's one of the world's fastest. It took that computer 40 minutes to crunch the data equivalent to 1 second of human brain activity. I mean, that is amazing. Your brain craves stimulation. I know some of you are saying, no, I don't want it. Your brain craves stimulation. In fact, and especially men. Okay, now this one's kind of funny, but they did this study and they discovered that men would rather shock themselves with electricity than sit in a room without stimulation. Okay? And all the women in the room are going, well, that makes sense. Yeah, that's why he does that stupid stuff, right? I mean, and so now on the other side, now in general, even as percentage of body mass, men's brains are 10% larger than women's. However, the hippocampus, which is part of your brain that's most strongly linked to our memory, is larger in women. So women have greater memories. That's why she remembers everybody's birthday and you don't. Okay, guys? That is why she remembers what you did yesterday and you don't. Okay? Praise Jesus, I don't remember some of those things, right? And so it's like, so the guys are like, oh, that makes sense, right? Our brains are these amazing, amazing tools. Studies, including actual MRI, and color imaging, has shown that the brains of people using Apple products highly differ from the brains of those using Android products. Isn't that crazy, right? And so you're probably wondering which one is better, huh? Well, I'm not gonna tell you. So, it's not whether or not one is better, although I will tell you this. Devin asked me in the first service, I said, well, it actually said in the study that the people who use Apple products, it stimulates part of the brain that is most closely related to what you do in worship. So he kind of liked that, so we'll let him go with that, right? So, but our brains are different, you know, it's kind of amazing. And while the human mind is amazing, We Americans, we're losing our minds. I mean, quite literally. I mean, it's not just like go turn on the news and go, these people are crazy, they're losing their minds, right? And some of you work with different people or work, you know, in different forms of service and stuff, and you're going, man, people are just crazy. No, we quite literally are physically even losing our minds. Many of you have been affected by this, but Alzheimer's is accelerating in every state in the union, okay? Someone is diagnosed today with Alzheimer's every 66 seconds. 1 in 10 people over the age of 65 and older has, not like will have, but has Alzheimer's. The human brain size, okay, has gotten smaller over the last 1,000 years. Some studies estimate that over the last 1,000 years, the brain size, the average brain size of Americans has shrunk by about the size of a tennis ball. It's like, whoop, just pull that out, right? Chronic stress and depression have been shown in studies to cause measurable brain shrinkage. The issue is that chronic stress and depression are on the rise everywhere in the United States. So it's causing our brains to shrink. One of the chemicals, this is very interesting, one of the chemicals that your brain needs the most is cholesterol, right? So I know some of you guys are like, bring on the butter, right? Have a better brain. The reality is there's something about the cholesterol that helps in the neurons firing and stuff like that. You actually need it, which is interesting because over the last so many years in our culture, everyone's saying, cut the cholesterol. Well, no wonder our brains are shrinking, right? It's like the very stuff that God said, hey, your brain needs this to work and to do things. It's like we've been going like, well, let's cut that out of our diet, right? The interesting thing about that is your body, okay, this is really crazy. Your body will eat away at itself to get it if it has to. Your brain will trigger something that will cause your liver to start digesting itself to come up with the right amounts of this chemical to try to feed your brain. So it's just crazy what your mind will do. Now, multitasking, okay, which is, you know, we talk a lot about multitasking and things like that. Multitasking is actually a misnomer. Your brain can only concentrate on one thing at a time. It can't concentrate on two things. It can only do one thing at a time. However, you can train your brain to toggle back and forth between things. So it's like, think on this thing, think on this thing. But the problem with that is the more it toggles back and forth and the faster that happens, the more it starts to do damage to your mind. Okay? Rapid toggling back and forth decreases your attention span and lowers your short-term memory processes. Isn't that wild? Millennials, okay? Millennials are more forgetful than their baby boomer parents. And all the parents are going, see, I told you, right? But it's interesting. Studies have actually shown that millennials are more likely to forget things. They're more likely to forget what day it is. They're more likely to misplace things like a phone, a wallet, keys, things like that. Than their parents before them. And one of the things in the studies that are coming out is one of the reasons is because our memory systems are getting damaged because some of our technology is actually hurting our brains. Relying on some of the technology, like some of the things that I really like how many of you use the Waze app, right? Okay, I love the Waze app. Okay, it helps me get places. It's the like the map thing. Well, it says, in one of the studies, it says that GPS devices and apps start to destroy our sense, our internal sense of direction. God actually puts something in us that kind of has a sense of north, south, east, and west. Okay? There's something like built into us. But the more and more that you use GPS devices, it actually starts to make it so that those processes in your brain no longer, the synapses aren't firing the same. And through a process called synaptal pruning, those processes that aren't used, they start going, you know, we're not really being used. Let's go use our stuff elsewhere. Okay? And so you can't do that. One of the ways that we see some of this happening where technology is taking over is like we don't memorize as much stuff anymore because we can just go get it and recall it really fast. okay? Because you can just go get information, you know, via your computer, even on your cell phone or wherever. And so you don't worry about memorizing things because you just go get it. Now, I was kind of, this week as I was studying some of this stuff, I started to think about, like, is this true in my life? And then all of a sudden, I'm sitting there and I go, 714-527-4593, okay? It's the phone number of the house I grew up in Anaheim, where I have not been in 38 years, okay? I mean, it just, boom, it pops. I started reciting off the old church number that I went to, some of my own old friends living 38, 39 years ago. I still remember their phone numbers. Now, it's embarrassing for me to tell you this, but I don't even know any of my daughter's phone numbers. You know why? Siri, call Hillary. You know? Alexa, call Brenda. Okay, I do know Brenda's. Okay. So, but the reality is that some of these things that we have, some of this technology is actually causing us to not use parts of our brain, and it's causing us to lose the synapses connections. Now, one of the best practices for healthy brain function is memorization, memorizing things. Now, we're going to get back to that in just a few minutes, okay? Since 1901, the average IQ in America has gone down 1.6 points per decade. So since 1901, it's gone down a total of almost 14 IQ points on average in the United States. Isn't that crazy? We're not actually getting smarter, at least IQ-wise. I would say that we need to pay close attention to the health of our minds and what happens. Our Heavenly Father created these amazing tools for us, okay? And they're so amazing, that and God wants us to take care of it. And our Heavenly Father certainly thought that what He was giving us was powerful. And so it says in our verse today, how do we create transformation? He says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So now, you have a mind that is, we have a mind as human beings, especially if Christ is not Lord of your life, we have a mind that is bent towards conforming to the world, okay? That's why this verse is so powerful. It says, don't conform, but be transformed. Our mind is bent towards taking the easy route, okay? Our mind is bent towards doing the things that are just right in front of us all the time. Okay? If you hear things enough, you start to do those things. And God is much more concerned with changing your mind today than He is with changing your circumstances. But the reality is most of us, when we approach God, we want Him to change our circumstances. We're like, God, you know, change this thing, give me this, do this. And then we're like, hey, if God, you'll do these things, if you'll change my circumstances, then I'll change my mind. Right? And God's going, that's not how it works. He's more concerned with changing our mind, and then hopefully, then sometimes He doesn't even have to change our circumstances, because we'll understand that the circumstances are actually better for us than we thought they were, or that we're learning more through these circumstances than we ever thought we could. And sometimes it's the process that God is saying, hey, you've got to go through this stuff. And God wants our minds to be developed. He doesn't want us to just take the easy route. So why do we need our minds to be renewed? Well, the Bible is pretty obvious about the power of our mind. It says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, be careful what you think, because your thoughts shape your life. Okay? Now, if you are taking notes, writing in your Bible, I'd circle that word shape. It shapes your life. Okay, the way that you process it, the way that you think about things, it shapes the way what happens in your mind comes out through what you do. Okay, another verse in Proverbs 23, verse 7, I believe it is, it says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. In other words, what you think about you is how you start to live. As you think in your heart, so are you. Okay, so your thoughts have a lot to do with who you are. That is why today there are companies that will pay, it's $114 million for a 30-second commercial spot for the Super Bowl today. It's almost $2 million a second that companies are paying. Why do they do that? Because they know if they can put something in your mind that you will be more likely to go and actually do that or buy that. I mean, they're banking on the fact that you will conform to what you see, that you will act on what you think. Why? They know it's true. So did God. He wrote this way before the commercial marketers ever got a hold of that idea. Jesus said, as you think in your heart, so are you. Be careful what you think, because the way you think is going to shape what you do. God knows this, so we have to learn to make sure that we're thinking rightly. Now, the problem is that many of us have believed lies. Lies that we've told ourselves, lies that others have told us, and those lies begin to affect our lives. Some of those lies are things like, you know, if you dress a certain way, then you'll be accepted over here, right? Some of those lies might be things that were told to you when you were younger, like, or maybe not even so much younger. Maybe you got the idea that somewhere that you were worthless, that you aren't good enough, that you aren't wanted. Maybe somebody one time told you that you were ugly, you were too fat, you were too skinny, you were too uncoordinated for something. And somewhere in there, you believed that thing. Maybe someone did something to you emotionally, physically, and it hurt you, and it planted a memory or a message in your mind that you were damaged goods, that you were somehow deserving of that horrible thing, that you should have been treated that way, or that you brought it on yourself. That you were abused and you believed that somehow it was your own fault. Maybe it's impacted the way that you live because maybe somewhere someone told you that you deserved that. Maybe you had a family that broke apart and somehow you thought it was your fault. And those are lies that the enemy keeps breathing into us and lies that we need to get rid of. When you believe these things, you give them power to shape your life. And God is saying, we don't want you to believe those things. We want your life to be shaped by better things. Another reason that we need to have a renewed mind is because the human mind, the fleshly mind, is hostile towards the things of God. Okay? In Romans chapter 8, verse 6, it says, the mind governed by the flesh is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. How many of you would like some life and peace? You like that stuff? Yeah. We don't want death. But the reality is the fleshly, the worldly mind, it's occupied on things that bring death into our lives. Well, so what this is telling us is we need to get more in tune with God's Holy Spirit and what He has in store for us. As we've been working through this passage in Romans, we talked about where this is in Romans so that we understood the context. And at the beginning of the book of Romans, at the very beginning, you know, we said how up for chapters 1 through 11 was Paul's deep theological treatise on the gospel and the good news of Jesus and how you have life in Him. And then chapters 12 and on are kind of a how-to. It's kind of the practical application of those things. At the beginning of the book, in chapter 1, starting in verse 28, Paul says this. He says, furthermore, he says, just as they, that's basically people who weren't following God, he says, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge, okay, knowledge in our minds, of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind. Basically said, if you aren't going to concentrate on the things of God in your mind, then God, basically, He'll hand you over to a depraved mind. If you don't have the things of God in your mind, you have a depraved mind, and what happens then? So that they do what ought not to be done. Right there, it tells us what we think in our mind, if it's depraved, it just doesn't sit there and, you know, have bad thoughts. It actually comes out in our actions. And so we need to make sure that we're very, very careful about the thoughts that we have because our thoughts affect our behaviors because they do what ought not to be done. And then it says, they have become filled with every kind of wickedness and evil, greed, depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They even disobey their parents. Okay? I know. What? It's like, well, say it isn't so, right? But the reality is we look at that list and we realize that stuff just runs rampant in our world. And I would venture to guess that every single one of us, that there's something on that list that we could probably go, you know, if I'm not careful, that thing could really try to have me. That the evil one could easily twist me and move me into thinking things that would drive me in that direction. You see, I truly believe that every single one of us this morning has something in our lives. We have something in our minds that was placed there that you are doing battle with. You know, it could have been just about anything. But if left alone in a quiet place long enough, there's something that's going to surface to the top of most of our heads. Something that says, you know, you're not good enough. You're not worthy. You need to seek the approval of other people. You're only as good as the things that you do. There's something in your head, you know, that is in there that is really trying to have its way with you. So while in Romans, the end of Romans chapter 1, he's saying, hey, this is what happens. Our minds can get distorted so easily. Now, fast forward to the other half of the book in Romans 12, he's saying, so don't conform to the pattern of the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So how do we renew our mind? Step number one, okay? And we're going to go through three things real quick. Step number one, take captive every thought, okay? It comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, and it says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power, okay, not my power, divine power, his power, to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Now, the first part of that, you know, is this idea of strongholds, okay? We have the power to demolish strongholds. Last week, Pastor Devin introduced us to that idea that strongholds. Now, basically, if you just want a simple definition, strongholds are the lies that we believe, okay? All kinds of things that come into our house, but into our mind, okay? God doesn't really love me. God will only love me if I earn it. God won't forgive me because I've done too many bad things. I'm too dirty for God to be able to approach God. I need to have the approval of other people in order to find my worth. I have to give myself to somebody physically or sexually in order for them to love me. Those are all thoughts and lies that the evil one constantly pushes our direction and tries to get us to live in ways that God doesn't want us to bring about death in some way, shape, or form in our life. And there's multiple other ones. Like I said, I think every single one of us has something that is in there somewhere that's wreaking havoc in our minds. And we need to take captive every one of those thoughts, okay? The Greek word is akmalatizo, okay? And it means to chain it up. During the week as I was thinking about this, I was imagining like, you know, like it handcuffing these thoughts, right? Because if something bad happens and the law enforcement folks show up, the first thing they do with the people that have been causing problems is what do. They handcuff them, right? Because now they can't do any more damage, you know, hopefully. Okay, it takes away their freedom to run rampant and to do bad things, okay? And so it brings some calm and some peace to the situation by locking up somebody who's been wreaking havoc. And so one of the things that we have to do is we have to chain up these thoughts, take its power away, take its ability to impact us away. I mean, this is warfare language. He says we don't do warfare with the tools that the world does. We have these things, this divine power to demolish these strongholds. I mean, you're supposed to demolish it. Okay, because there is a battle going on for your mind. And I heard this this last week from Pastor Rick Warren. I thought it was good. He says, when the devil gives you a thought, we call it temptation, right? When the Lord gives you a thought, we call it inspiration. But then mixed all in there are all of my own thoughts, and we just call that stupidity, okay? Now, if you were working and trying to be a follower of Jesus Christ, and you do not come face to face with the devil on a regular basis, I know some of you are going like, whoa, Pastor, that's pretty serious. Well, we're doing warfare, okay? This is spiritual battle. This is warfare. If you're not coming face to face with the devil on a regular basis, then you might want to ask yourself a question. If you're not coming face to face with him, maybe it's because you're moving in the same direction as him. And you need to think about, you know, because if you're truly trying to follow Jesus, you are going to be in a constant battle with the evil forces that are in this world that are trying to get you under the power of these strongholds. And so you're going to be in this constant battle, and you are going to bump up against this stuff and face it all the time. And you know what a lot of people's responses are? So often we just go, you know, that's just really hard. And so what do? We'll kind of go the easy route every chance we get. And it's a whole lot easier to go along with the crowd. It's a whole lot easier to just go along with the doing stuff. And I'm telling you, I think for some of us, kind of going, having just the routine of, you know, you just show up for church, and you just do the thing, and I check my box off and all that stuff. That becomes a routine that's just easy. And you know what? I believe that the devil oftentimes is just going, okay, I'll just let you do that. You can just kind of, you know, keep listening, keep just thinking about this stuff. Just whatever you do, don't do it. If you start doing it, you're gonna hit him face on, okay? But I think sometimes he'll just leave you alone in your own little la-la land as long as you don't get serious about things. You start getting serious about your faith, you start getting serious about following Jesus, you start getting serious about transforming your mind, you better believe he's gonna come out with both guns blazing. But the good news is this: we have divine power to demolish the strongholds. And God is on our side to help us do that. Now, as we demolish these strongholds, okay, when the devil, another favorite quote, I don't remember where I heard this, I love this one, because the devil is going to constantly try to remind you of all these crazy things in your lives and all these strongholds. When the devil starts to remind you of your past, you just remind him of his future, okay? You just tell him, you know what, devil, when you're trying to tell me how bad I am, I'm going to tell you where you're going to end up, okay? And it is not looking good for you. We need to, now, how do we do this? How do we take these captive? Now, and it says, and make our thoughts obedient to Christ. So how do you do that? You know, the thing that I've been thinking about a lot this week is, how do you make your thoughts obedient to Christ? I thought, well, what if you just quite simply ask yourself, stop and ask yourself this question all the time. If you hear one of those voices in your head that's trying to say this, just say, would Christ say that to me? Is that something that Jesus would say? Because the odds are, if Jesus wouldn't say it, it's more than likely from the evil one. And I think we just have to, it sounds almost too easy, right? But it's just stop and say, would Jesus say that to me? Would Jesus say, you're invaluable? Would Jesus say, you got to earn your way? Would Jesus say, You're too bad. You can't come into God's presence. Would Jesus say that you have to, you know, give part of your life to someone else just so that you can be loved? Would Jesus say, conform to the word? No. If Jesus wouldn't say it, then for heaven's sakes, make your thought obedient to Christ. And maybe just quite simply just say, hey, that's not what Jesus said. Sometimes it's like, that's not the way Jesus would say it. And make your thought obedient to him. One of the best ways to take captive our thoughts and make them obedient to Christ is quite honestly, to name them. Name the strongholds in your life. Be able to say, I mean, one of the reasons that we try to encourage you to be in a life group that we're promoting doing Rooted is that we go through some of this stuff. And the whole idea is you need a place where you can name it and where you can have people come alongside you, praying for you and helping you, and you can confess it. Because if you can name it and you can confess it, then you have power over it. And I want to encourage you to honestly, today, before you leave this place, my hope and my desire for you that today, that you would take some of those thoughts that the evil one keeps throwing at you, okay, like slinging mud at your wall, and just say, you know what? I'm going to name it, and I'm going to confess it, and I'm going to not take it out of this room with me anymore. And so what is it? You know, name it. Name the thought. Name the lust or the greed or the pornography. Name the addiction. Name the unworthiness. Name the need for acceptance. Name those things that torture you. And then say, you know what? I'm gonna confess that. You know, I think first confess it to the Lord, and then, you know what? the Bible tells us, hey, if we confess to one another, that times of healing will come. If you really want to take these things captive, if you want to really see them rendered powerless in your life, then you got to process them correctly. You got to name it and you got to confess that. And then once you've done that, now once you've taken the bad stuff and you've kind of taken that out of your mind, then you got to start filling your mind with the good stuff, okay? So when it's time to do that, you need to think about whatever, okay? I love this. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Think about whatever. Philippians 4, verse 8, it says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is praiseworthy or excellent, think about these things. So you know what I did this week as I was studying this? I just wrote that list down several times during the week. Okay, I just wrote down what is true, what is noble, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, what is admirable, what is excellent, what is praiseworthy, and then start writing in the answers. I got to tell you something. It absolutely radically transforms the way the rest of your day is going to go when you start thinking this way. And so I started to think, you know, and I'm thinking, what is true? Well, what is true is you have a God who loves you so much that he sent his only son to die on the cross for your sins so that you could spend eternity in heaven. What is noble? Noble's kind of a thought that we don't use a lot. It's kind of a royal thing, right? So I started thinking, well, what is noble? Noble is that you are a child of the king, and that makes you nobility. What is right? God's word is right. It's always right. It always has the right answer. What is pure? You have not been purchased with silver or gold or perishable things, but the precious, the pure blood of Jesus Christ. That is pure. What is lovely? Well, love, this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. 1 John 4 says, what is admirable? Okay, what do you admire? I admire the fact that I have a Savior who left the throne of heaven, came down to this earth, got stuck in a human body, got tempted like we are, and went to the cross on my behalf. That is admirable. What is excellent? God's grace. The fact that I don't get what I deserve, that I get way more than I could ever deserve, that's pretty excellent. And folks, what is praiseworthy? What do you have this week that is worthy of praising our Heavenly Father? What is it that God has done in your life that makes you just go, "Woo, God, thank you"? The problem is we aren't doing that enough. Somewhere, somehow, somebody told us that if you get to this point, "Woo, praise God, thank you," that you've just taken your faith just a little too seriously. I know where that voice comes from. And that's not a voice that Jesus would say. That's a voice from the evil one that says, you know, if you take your faith just a little too seriously, other people are going to think you're crazy, you're wild, you're out of control, you're whatever else. What is it that you have this week that is praiseworthy? And then the question is, are you actually praising him for it? Because the mere fact that you're breathing right now is a testimony to God's goodness and his grace. If he stopped his grace, I don't know, I think we might just melt. See, the other thing we have to do is think about the whatevers, and then we have to fill our minds with God's word. Now, I could talk for hours on this. I'm going to try and make sure I cut this short and just get straight to the point, okay? There is, if you're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ, if you are going to try to be a fully devoted follower of Christ who seeks and saves the lost, which is our mission statement here, if you're going to do this, if you're going to learn to encounter God and build true community in your life and learn to really extend compassion to other people, there is no substitute for healthy, regular doses of the Word of God. There's no generic brand, okay? There's a lot of people, a lot of Christians who I honestly believe have bought into a generic brand, okay? They read lots of other Christian material, okay? Stuff that's out there. Now, I read a lot. Go to my office. I got a library full of books, okay? And I love to get stuff like that. But if I'm reading that stuff more than I'm reading God's word, then I'm not filling my life with the right stuff. I'm trying to just take all the generic, right? I mean, I have authors that I love to read, you know, Dallas Willard and Tim Keller and different people that I've just, you know, C.S. Lewis. I mean, some of these great thinkers. And I love to read their stuff, but only as they inform what is in Scripture. We have to get more of Scripture in our life than we get anything else. Now, and that may be a little bit offensive to some of you, because if I go to your home and pull out your devotional book, it's going to have a whole lot more of somebody else's thoughts than it is of the Bible's thoughts. Now, if those thoughts are directing you into the Word so that you can work through the Word, think about the Word, and apply the Word, great. But there's no generic brand. We have to have God's Word in our lives. Now, how many of you in the room today are reading through the Bible with us this year in the daily Bible? We got a bunch of you? Yeah. Raise your hands up. Be proud. Okay, good. Okay. So now, here's the deal. Good job, but I'm going to warn you right now, okay? If you're doing it right now, you are about to enter the most difficult part of this whole thing, okay? The end of Exodus and into Leviticus, okay, this is where most people, you know, fall off, okay? And so, but here, there's a quote that I read a while back that I absolutely love. And it was by a guy named David Platt. And David Platt says this. He says, one sentence of the book of Leviticus has more power than every other piece of Christian literature ever written that's not in the biblical text. In other words, all the Dallas Willard and all the C.S. Lewis and all the Tim Keller and all the David Platt, even he says that in his book, all this stuff, none of that has anywhere near the power that one sentence from the book of Leviticus has. You know why? The book of Leviticus is the divinely inspired, God-breathed word of God. The rest of that stuff is some really nice people's thoughts, hopefully about the word of God. And if they do their job right, they will drive you back to the word of God. Why? Because the word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It goes even to the point where it divides our thoughts and our intentions. I mean, it cuts deep. And it helps train us for righteousness. You see, and guys, we have got to get healthy doses. If you are not getting healthy doses of God's word, then I would go as far as to say this. You will not be able to fully and effectively follow Jesus. You have to have God's word in your life. So make it something that you just do regularly. There's something, in doing some research this last week, I came across this thing. I don't know if any of you ever heard of this before. There's a group, probably one of the most, what they would consider powerful think tanks in the world, is a group called Oxford Analytica. Has anybody ever heard of them before? Oxford Analytica. There's a group of people, okay, bright thinkers, who gather every morning at Oxford University, okay, at about 5 a.m., and what they do is they have all of these newspapers and different news sources from all over the world that are brought to them, and they identify what they consider to be the top 10 or so news stories going on around the world. And then what they do is they look and they say, okay, what needs to be said about this? And they have a list of questions for each one of those areas, and then they go out and they find who they believe would be the person with the most knowledge about that particular area. And so they go out and they ask them to answer certain questions about that so that they can provide information about all of these major news situations going on around the world. And companies, okay, huge companies, governments, countries pay them millions of dollars every year to get that information every day. And their mission, Oxford Analytica's mission statement is this, and let me make sure I get this right. The reason that they exist, it says, is because the best leaders make the best decisions based on the best information. And so, like I said, countries and governments pay them millions of dollars for all of their information every day. Okay? Millions of dollars a year for daily information. Folks, I got to tell you something. You have something at your disposal that is more powerful than any bit of information that Oxford Analytica or anyone else like them could possibly give you. It is the divinely inspired, God-breathed Word of God. And it is more powerful for your life than anything else. Now, I am not saying to stick your head in the sand and don't know what's going on in the world or don't know what's happening in the news. Those things are good. You know why they're good? Because we need to take those things and apply God's word to what's happening. That is the job of the body of Christ in the world. To be able to say, hey, we know that all this stuff's happening. We know that the human mind can get lost and crazy and do all kinds of wild things. But guess what? There's hope. And the hope is found in God's word. And if we don't know it, if we don't fill our lives with it, then we won't be able to live lives not only fully devoted to him, we won't live life to the fullest. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. You want the fullest life you could possibly ever imagine? You aren't going to find it through all kinds of other bits of information. You will find it in the God-breathed Word of God. And so fill your life with it. Now, I love the verse, the passage of Scripture in Psalms 119. It's something I memorized a long time ago. I'm going to read parts of it just so I make sure I get it right. It says, in Psalms 119, starts in verse 9, it says, how can a young person keep their way pure? I'll read it there because I memorized it differently. By living according to your word, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. That whole idea, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Do you know, when we're talking about the mind, remember, what was the number one thing to mind health? What's the number one thing that you could do? Memorization. Even secular brain folks will tell you, the best thing you could do for health is to memorize stuff. Okay? And to give your mind constant, like, new stuff, right? And I'm thinking, how perfect is the Bible for this? You memorize stuff every day, and you get something new all the time. Like, this is perfectly designed, not just so that we can read it and go, wow, what am I? It's actually perfectly designed so that your mind that God created would be healthy. Kind of cool how God does stuff like that, right? So if you want a healthy mind, if you want a full life to the fullest, be in God's word. It's really, honestly, that simple. And so each week we have an opportunity for us to gather with the Lord around his table. And this morning I want to encourage you to take advantage of this time that we have together with him. There are some of you in the room right now who, you know, the devil might be putting some interesting thoughts in your head. Maybe it goes back to one of those strongholds. Maybe it's like, that guy's crazy, you know? You're supposed to just read the Bible all the time. Well, yes, that's true. Okay? I don't know what it is, but you know what? This is a place where we do some battle. And one of the verses that I memorize that makes the most difference for me in my life on a daily basis is, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. I have to recite that one on a pretty daily basis. Memorize God's word and let it do what it's meant to do in your life. And you will find the opposite of everything listed in that chapter 1 of Romans. You will find hope and you will find peace and you will find joy and you will find love. Will it be easy? No. But you'll have life to the fullest. And during this time, my prayer is that you would think about whatever is excellent and praiseworthy. Think about the Lord that gave his life. As you take that little emblem, that piece of bread, remember that his body was broken for you. When you take that cup, remember his blood that was shed for you. And praise him. For some of you right now, you need to think about the strongholds in your life that you need to take captive. And if you need prayer, I'm going to be right up here. I'd love to pray with you. If you need to accept Christ as your Savior, I'm going to be right up here. I would love to talk to you today and make sure that you don't go away with all the rest of that junk in your mind just beating you down. You could be free of that. and use this time to give that to him. And don't let it have power over you anymore. Because the only thing that should have power over us is our Savior and his word and his spirit. So take this time and work it out with him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, you're so good. And we just want to thank you, Father, that you have done everything in our best interest. You had your word written down. Father, I truly believe so that we could be in it regularly, so that we could memorize it, so that we would have healthy minds. Father, thank you that you've given us truth that we can hold on to, that we can go back to over and over and over again. And thank you for your Holy Spirit that will guide us to understand it. Father, mostly we thank you for the amazing, true, and noble, and pure, trustworthy, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy truth that your Son Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for us. And would you help us, Father, today to know how to live with minds that are like his. Father, we love you and we praise you. And we thank you in Jesus' name.